Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasello with SafeguardYourSoul.com. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I wanted to address something that I see happening far too often in and around the body of Christ that we see constantly on social media. It's very concerning, and I think you'll see why when we review a few scriptures about our country. This is America. America is the country that God has chosen to have most of us who listen to this broadcast to be born in or living in now. And what is our responsibility towards civil government? What did God say about it? Because we certainly see a lot of reckless stuff going on in the name of Christianity that is not of God at all. And I think these scriptures that we're going to go over make that clear. Let me say up front, friends, I will not join you if you are choosing to slander the president that God instructed us to pray for and give him thanks for. And here's exactly why. Acts chapter 23, verse 5, where I believe it's Paul is quoting Moses, and I'll give you that verse too. But notice Acts 23, 5, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. That's Acts 23, 5. Notice Exodus 22, 28. Moses wrote, thou shalt not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of thy people. And I can tell you there's some people who claim to be and put off to be godly that are cursing the ruler of thy people, namely Donald Trump. Now, if you don't like Trump, that's fine. But I would ask, are you praying for him? You see, there are some people who are choosing to condemn him, which shows you that, first of all, they're not being led by the Spirit. They're in rebellion against God and violating his word. They're certainly not praying for him, because if they were truly praying for him, they wouldn't be condemning him as they're doing. Isn't it God that said, it's the ungodly man that diggeth up evil? Yeah, that's what he said. Proverbs chapter, I believe it's 16, 27, and 28. This is a very telling passage that I want to highly encourage you to grasp, to capture, to lock into, saints. You see, listen to this. Proverbs 16, 27 and 28. An ungodly man does what? Diggeth up evil. Now, how dare you dig up the sin of somebody else, including an unsaved secular president who God put to be our president. This applies anywhere you look at it. We need to stop trying to dig up people's evil. Listen, there's no one listening to me that didn't do some sin in the past they're ashamed of now. Amen? Do you want that dug up on you? Who does such a thing? An ungodly man diggeth up evil. You see, if you're digging around, especially with another believer, under the blood and pulling out sins they committed that God has already forgiven them for, you're in some big trouble with God, be honest with you. You're under his judgment. Doesn't matter if you pray in tongues and preach and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. You are a counterfeit. You are acting in hypocrisy. The Bible calls you an ungodly person. Proverbs 16, verse 27 and 28. So let's read it. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward or a wicked man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And that's what we got going on here. We got some people that are sowing strife unnecessarily, and then when corrected by the Word of God, they're still forging ahead doing it. And that's of great concern because they're misleading a lot of people. And then, you know, you get all kinds of self-righteous people joining in with them because for some reason they just hate this president. How is it that hatred is being perpetrated and made to look like it's godly? Well, he's an unsaved guy and he's been married a few times. So what? He's a secular leader, folks. He's not a Christian pastor or bishop or elder. He's functioning in an a secular office. There's so much immaturity going on in and around the body of Christ. We don't understand that there are three institutions established by God, and one of them is civil government. We've been instructed from God's word regarding family and the church, the two other institutions, those things instituted in society by God. You know, we've been taught about family and the church, but most of us have received very little or no instruction regarding God's will for civil government and its place in our lives. And as a result, our government has become increasingly godless. Because there are people, as I mentioned earlier, who are running around turning Christians away from praying for those in leadership. Nobody said you had to agree with them or love their past. Okay? But God told you to pray for your president and all of those in leadership so that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives. That's his will stated, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, undeniably. Here is the purpose of civil government stated in Romans 13. Have you read that chapter? Do you understand it? Romans 13, verse 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, that is civil government. They're not to be a terror to good works, but to the evil. They're to be a terror, and people ought to fear doing evil, because they're going to be punished by civil government, which God instituted, folks. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, that is the authority of God, in the civil government? I know the civil government isn't all right, correct, but they're men. Trust me, I know that by personal experience. You just would not believe. But that doesn't give us the authority from God or the permission to rebel. Just because some people misuse their position behind the bench or the badge, amen? So he says, Paul writes, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? In other words, will you not respect the power that God invested in civil government to punish evildoers? You better. Do that which is good, he says, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. The cops are the legal system. He's a revenger, Paul writes, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Okay, there's a place for civil government. Listen, if you don't like the fact that we have law and order in America and we need more of it, and thank God for the new president who's draining the swamp and seeing that come to pass, and he needs your prayers, by the way. If you don't like it, go live in a third world country. Be a real hero, self-righteous, arrogant one. You're such a gospel hero. Go preach the gospel on the streets of a Muslim-run government country and see how quick you get killed and murdered or jailed for life. If you're not thankful for what we have been given here in America, and let me tell you, it wasn't by accident. No, our past isn't perfect. Neither is yours or mine. But God was obviously working through some of the people who set the foundations of this country, which a lot of which comes from the Word of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the country we have and the blessings we have. So some of us need to get a clue. And, you know, it's been said, and I believe this, those that give or do the least complain the most. I mean, I can tell you most of these people running around slandering our government, namely the president, haven't served in the military or done anything to further the cause of the blessings in this country. And that's a shame, but yet they're going to, behind the guise of being godly, they're going to preach against it. I don't understand that. Listen to Acts 23:5 again. Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And the ruler of thy people in this country, the top ruler is who? Who did God give us to be the president right now? Donald Trump. Are you speaking evil against him, or are you praying for him? It can only be one or the other, folks. This isn't my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. Again, you don't have to love. Listen, we don't have to love everything our parents have ever done, but God commanded you to honor your father and mother. Where is the decency? Where is the honor of God? If you honor God, really, not just in your preaching, but in your life, you're honoring your parents. Again, none of us fully agree with our parents in everything. He didn't say you had to, but he said honor them. And he says the same thing for civil government. Honor them. Don't speak evil against your government. Again, Exodus 22:28. Thou shalt not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of thy people. And we got folks running around doing that. And I want to ask you, are you spreading lies about our leader, our president at the time, no matter who he is? I quite frankly appreciate him. I'm so glad we got him instead of the baby butchering evil Antichrist witch that he beat. Wow. Some people act like they wish we would have got her. We'd probably all be in FEMA camps now. But you see, some of them would even listen to this and go, well, brother, are you not ready to endure hardness as a good soldier? I tell you what, without going into detail, I've probably endured a whole lot more hardness than you have or ever will. So don't give me that lip. First of all, this is in rebellion to God, because God has stated in 1 Timothy 2, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just reading from the Bible. And by the way, I'm doing that unapologetically, and I'm in your face. If you're going to rebel against God by continuing to speak evil against the ruler of your people, of God's people, or of the people of this country. 1 Timothy 2:1-3, let's start there. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that means humble request, prayers, intercessions, wow, he goes into detail there, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for specifically, watch this, for kings. That's what our president is. He's the king or the ruler, the top ruler of the people here, and for all that are in authority, so let's stop right there. Notice, we are to be, here's the instruction and the command of God. If you're going to obey God, you're going to make supplication for Donald Trump or whoever the president might be when you're listening to this message. Okay? Supplication is a humble request before God. Prayers, you're going to be praying for him, not condemning and running around spreading lies about him or trying to dig up his past. Who cares? God didn't remove David from being king when he did some horrific sins, including had a man killed, adultery, etc., cover-up. So I think we need to get over our arrogant selves and realize just how merciful God's been to us, the least, the worst sinner. That's you. That's me. When you look in the mirror, when I look in the mirror, we see the worst sinner on the planet who is less than the least. He's not the least. He's less than the least. That's you. That's me. Ephesians 3:8. Less than the least of all saints. So if you're godly, you're praying for and giving thanks for all men, and including, he goes specifically the next words, verse 2, 1 Timothy 2, kings. That's it. You're praying for your president. You're not condemning him. Again, that doesn't mean you agree with him or his past, but you're commanded to pray for him. And if you're praying for him and you have the right heart, your prayer's not going to be answered anyway if you don't, you're not running around condemning him, because you can't do both, okay? We're to pray for king, give thanks for kings and all that are in authority. Can you read? Can you read? Okay, if you put yourself off to be a godly person, you're going to be praying for the leaders of this country. First of all, the gospel laborers, those who servant lead among God's people and who are doing the most important and only eternal work in the earth. And that's the work of the gospel, to feed and to equip and to teach his saints and to help the lost be saved. That's the most important people in leadership in this country. Okay, the body of Christ and the laborers, the specific elders in the body of Christ that God has called out to do his work, are doing the infinitely most important work in the earth. Now, we get all, you know, in the realm of the world, you know, we look at these summits and these world meetings of world rulers. That doesn't even begin to be important compared to the work of the kingdom of Christ. But God has a place for that civil government, and he's going to talk about it right here. That, notice, we're to pray for those in authority, and specifically the kings. That would be our president, like it or not. God didn't need your puny opinion when he gave us his word, okay? So lay the axe to the root, lean not to your own understanding, cease being wise in your own conceit, truly repent, and get over yourself and obey God. And here's why he wants us to pray for our rulers. Quote, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God likes organized law and order in society. He stated it right here. And this is the first thing he says concerning why we need to pray for those in authority. God's not impressed. Okay, God is not impressed Let me rephrase that. God is not glorified when there's anarchy, and like we see in other countries. He doesn't want that here. We've been born into a country with law and order for the most part. Okay, you can't get away with just going down the street and killing people. In a lot of other countries, a lot of people listening have never been there or never read up on it or studied or seen videos on it. People can just go around doing raping, stealing, robbing, killing, anything they want, and that, you know, there's no law and order. So the people are just left to be ravaged, the good people. Okay, but we've been blessed. We don't have that here. Okay, there's a price to pay, baby, as God has ordained civil government to deal and mete out Romans 13. Listen, friends, I want you to get a hold of Romans 13, and I want you to study that passage, and I want you to study what God said here in 1 Timothy 2, beginning in the first verse. And let's grow up, okay? Let's start viewing secular government, civil government, not as our enemy. It's there to applaud, Romans 13 said, those who do good, and to punish the evildoers. Those are the ministers of God, he says. Okay, listen, our president is a secular ruler, folks. Get over it. He's not a minister of the body of Christ in the sense of being a pastor, an elder, and a teaching and laboring elder. He's a secular ruler. Okay, there are different qualifications for that. There are stated qualifications for those who are going to be elders and pastors, etc., in the body of Christ in 1 Timothy 3, for example. That's a different realm. That's a different institution. Three institutions of government: family, the church, and the government. Three institutions of society, I'm sorry. The family first came before the church. It's most important. God, do you know God's order for the family? Do you know God's order for the church? Do you know God's order for civil government? We're going over a little bit of that. I want to whet your appetite, and there's a lot more studying you can do in the Word of God, and we've got this covered the topic biblically on safeguard your soul. I want to encourage you to check it out and learn the Word of God and act accordingly. And by the way, this ministry needs your support and your prayers. Amen. Okay, so God wants us to live, he states it right here, a quiet and peaceful life. Don't you have some personal incentive in that? Do you want somebody, why do you think people, like most of the American people, the normal people, want there to be a wall between us and Mexico? Well, it's common sense, and it's Bible. God wants us to be able to live quiet and peaceful lives. Why do you have walls on your home? Okay, what to do what? Keep the evildoers out. Why do you have locks on your doors, in your car, and in your home? Okay, not only is it Bible, most importantly, but it's common sense. Common sense God gave you. Lock the door, man. Close the door. Lock the windows. You don't have to be afraid, but keep the evil out. And God wants to keep the evil out of our society, and that's why he wants us to pray for our leaders. Amen? Pretty logical, too, isn't it? Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And notice this. This is not a disjointed passage, by the way. It's all connected. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So what does this tell you? God wants us to be able to do ministry in a quiet and peaceable environment. Quote, I'm just taking the words right out of this passage, 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 1. And he says he wants all men to be saved. Well, the ultimate environment for that is being a quiet and peaceful life we live here, as we live here in America at this point. So pray for it to continue for our kids and our children's children and for future generations and for this generation so that people can get saved. Well, people aren't getting saved. This is a rebellious country and we've murdered six people. I understand that. Judgment is coming on America, but let me let you in on something, clueless one. I don't mean to be rude, but there's some people I'm talking to that are pretty clueless. Every nation in the world on God's globe is under judgment, not just America, okay? So you're no hero, as you put off to be, some of you arrogant ones, to see all the sin in America. My question to you is, what are you doing to bring the solution? What are you doing to see that all men be saved? By this one mediator, Jesus Christ, verse 5. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Are you preaching the gospel? Good. Keep preaching it. And also obey God by praying for your leaders. And stop running around condemning them, please. Stop spreading lies about your president and digging up the evil sins of his past. You know, God says, as you judge, you're going to be judged. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. That's what Jesus said. And with the same measure you deal out or mete out, it's going to be dealt back to you. You know, if you're uncovering somebody's sins wrongly and unconstructively, God's going to bring your sins into the open. That's what he promised. After all, if we're so godly, as we close here, did God not give us the president we have for his purposes? Yeah, brother, he sure did, some would say, and he's turned us over to this wicked animal as our president who's been married more than once and all this stuff. If he has, then if you're so godly, why don't you just let him be God and why don't you just go forth and obey him? Okay? By ministering to those around you and praying for your president. And again, you know, you might self-righteously hate the man because you haven't been honest about your own life and the sins you've committed. You need to repent. But brother, we need to turn from our wicked ways and obey God. Well, good. Let me encourage you to turn from your wicked ways. You're preaching to everybody else, but you're not obeying this yourself. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you were, you would stop slandering the president and obey God and look at your own sins, which, you know, our own sins are the ones we should be most concerned about, right? Some people, I guess, feel good about themselves to run around condemning a man that's not even saved for his past sins. I mean, I don't know. It makes me wonder if their lives are right with God, you know? Think about the hypocrisy of the self-righteous who arrogantly joined the world's most wicked people in trashing our current president. What does that tell you? Seems like to me they're under the same influence of the same devil as all the people of the world who hate, they're absolutely lawless and they hate law and order, and therefore they hate this president we have who's draining the swamp, seeking to, and he needs your prayers, by the way. He's doing you a favor, whether you realize it or not. Listen, saints, we need to truly repent and turn from our wicked ways. And one of those wicked ways is slandering instead of praying for our president. God bless you, saints. Thanks for listening. There's a whole lot more about this on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just go to the America category on the category drop-down menu. Also, there's a book we have called Let America Pray Again. Amen. Let America Pray Again. And it's a biblical administration of the Word of God to help people realize the three institutions that we have that God instituted in this order of importance. The family, the church, and civil government. God bless you, saints, and thank you for praying for our leaders and also especially for the laborers of Christ and supporting them. God bless you. Thank you for listening. SafeguardYourSoul.com.